Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. We've come to a section in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Where the Apostle Paul is painting a portrait of what Christian ministry is like, and it is a very unflattering portrait. Most of the time when we hear Christian ministry described from the pulpit, it is portrayed in glowing terms, glorious terms, oftentimes with the purpose in mind of encouraging young men to enter gospel ministry. We need more ministers. We need more missionaries. We need more gospel messengers. And it's a wonderful work, a glorious work. And that's true. I'm not saying that that isn't true, but I'm saying that's not the way the Apostle Paul approaches it here. He paints a portrait of gospel ministry that is very humbling, very difficult, very discouraging from a human standpoint, and seems to be saying, in effect, something like this: folks, if you can't endure this, then don't think about entering gospel ministry, because this is what it's really like. But the reason it's like this is because God doesn't intend for the gospel messenger to get glory unto himself. God intends for the gospel messenger to give all the glory to God. And therefore, when the messenger is conscious of his human weakness, and when other people who are watching him labor are conscious that he's not particularly gifted or attractive, he seems to be nothing more than a jar of clay, an earthen vessel, then they tend to give the glory to God. But oh, if it's somebody who is quite the somebody, then the glory goes to man instead of to God, and that's not good. And so we read in verse 7, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." And so we will continue in this passage on this Thursday, November 10. Thank you for joining us for this Bible teaching section of ministry, and thank you for your financial gifts that keep us teaching on this station. Well, you may recall that after telling us that the treasure, which is Christ, is in an earthen vessel, which is just a very ordinary and not valuable clay jar, and the reason for that is so that the treasure, Christ, contained in the vessel gets the glory, not the vessel itself. And after telling us that, Paul gives four couplets that describe gospel ministry as it really is. "We are hard-pressed," he said, "on every side." That's the way it is an awful lot of the time. It just feels that way. I'm being hounded. I'm being pressed on every side. I heard one pastor describe it like this. He said, "I seem to spend my whole time just running around putting out brush fires. As soon as I get one out here, another one starts over there, and here we go again." And that's often the way it is. I felt that way at times, hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. "We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. Persecuted, but never alone. Persecuted, but never without help. Persecuted, but never left without the presence, the powerful presence and the comforting presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then number four, struck down almost to the point of death, but not destroyed. How wonderful. And so we read in verse 10, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Constantly facing death, the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, never free from the threat of death is what Paul is talking about here. And that really characterized his life and his ministry. And what's the reason? That the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. If you're not paying close attention, you might miss what he's saying here, but so I'll go back at it again. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. I'm carrying in my body the death of Jesus. Jesus died. I'm a messenger, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm carrying in my body the death of Jesus. I'm always near death. I'm always at the point of death, like my Savior who laid down his life, never free from the threat of death. But why? That the life of Jesus may be manifested in our body. Like the dying of Jesus is manifested in my body, in my life, so may the life of Jesus, the power of Jesus, the resurrection life of Jesus also be manifested in my body. Do you get the point, what he's saying here? If I'm going to have the power of the resurrection displayed in my life, my labors, my body, my ministry, then I'm going to have to accept the death of Jesus as being a constant part of my life as well. It is by the dying of Jesus that we have the powerful and glorious resurrection of Jesus. Without his death, there would be no resurrection. Agreed? All right, here's the analogy. Without living a life of constant death or near death, we will not have the power of Christ's life in us either. Christ's resurrection life was sustaining Paul's fragile life. And that summarizes basically what he said in those four couplets. Hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed, perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed. And here's what that means. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, in order that the life of Jesus also, not just his death, though that comes first, but the life of Jesus also, in addition to his death, may be manifested in our body. Sometimes we put it, a similar thought, not identical, but a similar thought to something like this. No cross, no crown. Christ had to go to the cross before he rose from the dead in glory and went back to heaven, where he was seated at the right hand of the Father in the place of authority, in the place of deity, in the place of rulership, where he was crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But that came about after his death. And similarly, in our lives, no cross, no crown. If we're not willing to be pressed on every side, if we're not willing to be frequently perplexed, if we're not willing to be persecuted, oh, how we tend to want to avoid that at all costs, and sometimes the cost is way too high. It is a compromise with the truth. We don't want to be persecuted. We don't want to be ill thought of. Oh, no. We want to be well thought of. But we must be willing to be persecuted. If we're not willing to be struck down, if necessary, for Christ's sake, even willing to lay down our lives for the Lord Jesus Christ, then we will not have much power in our labors. The resurrection power, the resurrection life of Christ comes to those who live lives of death, who live a life that is dying with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And that's what Paul is getting at in this whole section. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have to be thought of as nobodies. We have to consider ourselves to be nobodies and be willing for others to think of us that way. All that goes against the flesh. We have to be willing to suffer. We have to be willing to be persecuted. We have to be willing to be humiliated. We have to be willing to make great sacrifices. But if we are so willing, then we will, no doubt, be those through whom the powerful, the resurrection, powerful life of the Lord Jesus Christ will be manifested. You see, the secret to effective gospel ministry is not technique. It's not special methodologies. It's not humanly designed programs. It is not manipulating the message to make it more acceptable. It's not doing things to make us more popular and applauded by others. It is just the opposite of all of that. It is recognizing that the treasure must be in earthen vessels, and we who are earthen vessels, if we recognize and know who we really are before God, we need to act like it. We need to quit acting like we're somebody, or quit acting like God ought to be treating us like somebodies. How many times I've seen people who have served the Lord faithfully, to a degree at least. None of us serve him with perfect fidelity, but have served the Lord faithfully, get to the place where they begin to complain. Well, Lord, I have done this for you. I have done that for you. Why are you allowing this to happen to me? So you will be reminded that this treasure is in earthen vessels. We have to feel our weakness. We have to feel despair. We have to feel the persecution. We have to feel the hatred and animosity of others. We have to feel the reality that we are nothing more than sinners saved by grace. We are deserving of eternal condemnation, and anything short of that is a gracious mercy of God. Why do we think that God should give us special favors simply for serving him when we have not served him as well as we should? Come on, be honest. When we've done everything that we ought to do, we are yet unprofitable servants, is what our Lord taught us to think. So get in the right mindset. The treasure is what's important. The earthen vessel is of no importance, so gladly sacrifice it. Lay that down for the cause of Christ and see what power God may choose to deposit in that broken, humble, dependent life in order to magnify Christ and to produce lasting fruit. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.